ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Naram chaiva narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato yayam udidaye Prayeshu apatreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yutamashloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. Let me affectionately welcome you for this lecture on the Bhagavad Gita, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text 8. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Varam Vinayatvam Bhadram Vo Jamme Nripanandana Sohadena Pritak Dharma Tushtoham Suride Navaha Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Varam Vinayatvam Bhadram Vo Yujam Me Nripanandana Sohadena Pritak Dharma Tushtoham Suride Navaha Yes, please, one of you chant.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Param Vinirvam Bhadram Vo. Yujame Nripanandana. So. Please allow me to be a little fast because the time is there. This verse is spoken by the Lord, who with a merciful glance and a voice like thunder addressed the sons of King Prachinabahishat. And he said something very deep and something which was on his heart, because these sons were very much surrendered to him. So this is what the Lord expresses. You know, when there is a very, very deep relationship between the Lord and the His devotees, when it's really an established relationship, the Lord will not talk about generalities, commonplaces in the spiritual philosophy. He will go to things which matter most. We know from the Gita that He is reciprocally respondent to the devotion of His devotees. So this is what He said. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear sons of the King, I'm very much pleased by the friendly relationships among you. All of you are engaged in one occupation, devotional service. I'm so pleased with your mutual friendship that I wish you all good fortune. Now you may ask a benediction from me." Purport. Since the sons of King Prachinabhaishat were all united in Krishna consciousness, the Lord was very pleased with them. Each and every one of the sons of King Prachinabhaishat was an individual soul, but they were united in offering transcendental service to the Lord. The unity of the individual souls attempting to satisfy the Supreme Lord or rendering service to the Lord is real unity. In the material world, such unity is not possible. Even though people may officially unite, they all have different interests. In the United Nations, for instance, all the nations have their particular national ambitions, and consequently they cannot be united. Disunity between individual souls is so strong within this material world that even in a society of Krishna consciousness, members sometimes appear disunited due to their having different opinions and leaning towards material things. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be two opinions. There's only one goal, to serve Krishna to one's best ability. If there's some disagreement over service, such disagreement is to be taken as spiritual. Prabhupada is very generous here. Those who are actually engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those who are actually there, cannot be disunited in any circumstance. This makes the Supreme Personality of Godhead very happy and willing to award all kinds of benediction to His devotees, as indicated in this verse. We can see that the Lord is immediately prepared to award all benedictions to the sons of King Prachinabhaishat. So, once again the verse, the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said to these very surrendered souls, "My dear sons of the King, I am very much pleased by the friendly relationships among you. All of you are engaged in one occupation, devotional service. I am so pleased with your mutual friendship that I wish you all good fortune. Now you may ask and a benediction from me." This verse points at an earlier statement of the Bhagavatam, where it is very clearly said what is the quality for practicing the Bhagavatam culture. You know, the Bhagavatam is a culture of knowledge. It's not just knowledge, It has to be cultured. One indication of the culture is that you must hear the Bhagavatam and you must serve the devotees of the Lord, you know, the Bhagavat personality. That's a culture, that's a process, that's a way to understand something. So by hearing, but we must serve as well. We chant this in this verse, Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevayana. Two Bhagavatas needs to be served, the book and the person who lives the Bhagavatam. It's a kind, you know, it's something which is not theoretical, but very much life-related. So what is the quality to enter this culture? It's said here in one word, nimatsaranam. One has to be free from matsarya. What is matsarya? That's enviousness. Prabhupada translates this as one must be 100% pure in heart. So that impurity which has to go is really that one of the big problems in this world, envy. We hear that this is such a problem that it is due to envy of the Lord that we are actually here. And how this is so will become a little bit clearer very soon. So this enviousness, matsarya, is a great problem. It is defined as the suffering that appears in the heart when we see another has what we don't have and what we covet, what we desire to have. Envy is a suffering in the heart which appears when I see that someone has something which I also desire but I don't have. It could be material things, it could be positions, it could be skills, it could be clicks on his Facebook page. It could be anything which someone has which I desire but don't have. And it's a sadness, it's a pain in the heart. The Vishnu Purana says this type of pain which comes by this reaction is a distress which is felt upon seeing the good fortune of others. And it is such a big problem that this distress will go on until death, if you don't cure this. You will always be in this distress. I like very much when I visited the school, and Jai Radhe, the teacher, Jai Shri Radhe, told us that she thinks it's important that children are cutting down their Facebook and internet activity, because you see so many things, also when you have Facebooks and all these things, which make you feel, oh, there's so much out there which I don't have, and you develop a restless nature. I would like to add also an envious nature. It is fuel for this, no? When one is not so strong. I would like to tell you a little folk story which makes it very clear why this is misery, why this is hurt, why we are hurting ourselves with this enviousness. I heard it from a Gurukul student of the Gurukul in Vrindavan, who came with our preaching party on a tour, and I requested him at the end of my lecture. It was a well-attended lecture. You please also say something, because the audience will be highly curious. What does a child who's educated in the Hare Krishna way of thinking, what does he say in public? So he said something which really scattered the, which really pierced the heart of the audience in a very good way. It made them, it provoked them to think about something. And still, people who were on this lecture say, this boy was 100 times better than you. because he really impressed his audience. Yes, yes. Yes. Very good. And I felt envy. This is what he said. He said, every one of us suffers from the disease of enviousness, otherwise we wouldn't be here. This is how he started his lecture. Wow, that was a powerful entry. He surely had his audience. Then he said, I'd like to tell you a story which I learned in my school in India. Another powerful entry point. Wow, what did he learn? There was once a very poor man, he continued, who went in the forest to have some relief. He could not make ends meet. He could barely feed his family. He could not supply them comfort and so on. And he was highly distressed by this. So he leaned against the tree, and to his surprise, he heard a voice. I am the yaksha of this forest. Means a subtle being who is surveying a certain territory. I am a yaksha of this forest, and if you want, I can fulfill all your desires. What? Said the man. He knew about the power of yakshas. Really? Yes, said the yaksha, there's only one condition. Whatever you get, your neighbor will get double of that. Okay, no problem, said the man, and went home. And he looked at his hut, it was almost falling over. And he decided, let me test this benediction, and said, I would like to have a stable building with a decent facility for bathing. Well, mainly it should be sturdy. Watch! Wow! This house was really a strongly built house with good foundations. There was a very, very useful bathroom with several items, a shower, everything. He felt really good, and his family felt very happy, and he lived very, very, very nicely. One morning, he went out and he saw, where's the house of my neighbor? He had forgotten. Because where the house of his neighbor used to be was a very sturdy house. And he could immediately see there was this attached bathroom just like his own. Good for him, he thought. But the dynamic had started in his heart. He went out that day, inspected his field, and it was really small. He said, I wish that my field is extended into the forest is cleared, and it's a good field, and I would love to have a good harvest of rice already now. Watch! The big field, full of rice and its maturity. He said, I wonder what happened to the field of my neighbor. He went over. The neighbor had double size field. It was double the size of his own extended field. And he thought, what did this whatever is the blasphemous word, this incompetent person, the higher English. What did he do to deserve this? And he felt profound distress. He thought for 1 month what his next desire would be, and then he had it. He thought it's a desire which is impossible to double. When he was in his home, he said, "I wish that my home, as good as it is transformed into a four-story building." In India, there were maximum two stories at that time, so he thought four stories. It's not possible to go higher. He had not visited the Empire State Building. Four-story building. Watch! My God! How is this possible? And he climbed up on his roof. It was a flat roof, and he looked over to his neighbor, first glance. He had no joy in the fall. He wanted to see. And he saw a towering eight-story building. It took him 2 months to decide what he would wish next for. And then he had it. And listen now very carefully about his desire and study the psychology behind it. It's the psychology of envy, which you will most probably detect immediately. He said, "Oh, Yaksha, let me have only one eye." One eye was taken away. No problem, he said. He went to his neighbor and he saw the neighbor was blind on double. That means two eyes. And he felt an evil joy. The rest of his life, he suffered terribly because, you know, with one eye, you develop. Have you ever had an accident in one of your eyes and you had to go? You become psychologically limited, let us call it like this. It is, you know, for fun it is good. I could maybe do it for 1 hour, but then I would talk nonsense. Because it has an effect which is really disturbing. So this is envy. It's not that others will suffer when you are envy on them. It's your pain which you increase as whenever you nourish this evil feeling and you allow it to prosper like a fungus which eats the joy of your life away from you. For lack of time, I would love to tell you about envy in politics, Genghis Khan and his blood brother Jamukha and how they split. And I would like to, but I will just tell you one more story which brings the problem home to us. Prabhupada would often ask his godbrothers to cooperate. Now one godbrother talked to him and said why he wouldn't cooperate. He said, "Oh Swami Maharaj, in my pukur, in my pond, or my institution, my pukur, I'm the big fish. And in your pukur, you are the big fish. Now if I join, your pukur is bigger than my pukur, and therefore you are bigger in your influence. Now if I will join you, I will be a small fish. Sorry, I cannot accept your invitation. Please excuse me." This was related to me by His Holiness Jaipataka Maharaj, who was there in that conversation. And this godbrother didn't know that Jaipataka Maharaj knew the Bengali language and could understand the conversation. You know, he had been stationed in, he has served for a long time in Bengal, and knew he can speak Bengali. You know? So he understood, and he understood. Maharaj said, "What is the nature of envy in spiritual societies? It's a big problem. It's not what the karmis only have. We all have it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here." This fault is absolutely absent in the spiritual domain. Prabhupada writes, "The most important thing about the spiritual world is that there is no envy among the devotees there." That's the most important characteristic. And now you can see why, in order to practice the Bhagavad culture, it is incumbent upon us. We must have it. It's in Indian English you would say it's compulsive. We must be free from this thing which is not there in the spiritual world, this enviness. And we will ask ourselves, there's a verse also in the 10th canto, it says even the animals like tigers are not maliciously inclined towards the deer. They live in peace next to each other. They are not envious. And we might immediately ask, why is it that this is not there? The answer is, and I can only, may I say it very bluntly, there is no sense gratification there. Only Krishna's satisfaction is in the center. As long as there are different interests for my gratification, I will be envious on someone who is more gifted than I am. No. But if I understand it's Krishna's interest, Krishna's in the center, my ego should go away from the throne which he has usurped. It's the throne of my heart, my most precious place. There the ego sits, and there I, me, I and mine. Huh? Is his what he says from morning till evening in so much sophisticated language. It's always only I and mine. Very, very boring. Very repetitive, in fact. That must go from the heart. And instead, Krishna and his interest must be installed there. There's a very good example of this in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, 15th chapter, text 18. It talks about the spiritual world, and I like this very much because one of my services is to do kirtan, and I know about I know the kirtaniyas, and I know how sometimes there's so much profound misery in the heart of some of our kirtaniyas when they are not requested to sing, but someone else is requested to sing. When I was in charge of picking the kirtaniyas, I was offered money to give them slots, and I said, "You imagine you can sing for the whole time as this lasts on and longer in the chorus." As a kirtaniya, you also, if you need to save your voice, sing only one time. So in the chorus, you also sing one time. It's the same thing. You have the same amount of time for you, long, 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 in the chorus. And if Krishna is in the center, he hears the devotee in the chorus as much as he hears the devotee who is leading the kirtan. No difference, absolutely no difference. And I was looked upon with fiery eyes. Yeah, the Bhagavatam it says, when the king of bees hums in a high pitch, all the other birds stop. The dove, the cuckoos immediately stop chirping because they think, oh, there's glorification of the Lord. Let us be silent and listen. Says our Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purpose is this. And they asked, who is it who sings? And someone else answered, it's the king of bees who's qualified to sit on the garland of our Lord. And when he he's humming Hari Hari by vibrating its wings. With some good goodwill, you can understand. Is Hari Hari, what else? have you not yet noticed? This is equal to the glorification of the Lord. I do not know, says another bird, how much more respect the birds will show to the bee if he starts to directly glorify the Lord. Yes, they are not envious, even on a bee, which makes some sound. In fact, they stop and give him the first place. You are very, very nicely humming, Hari Hari. What a good kirtan you do. Prabhupada comments this. He says, in the material world, even an ass or donkey enjoys his own sound vibration. This is how strong the ego is, huh? But in Vaikuntha, such nice birds as the peacock and the cuckoo prefer to hear the vibration of the glories of the Lord from the bee. Why? There is this special feature in the Vaikuntha planets. There is no question of sense gratification. It's just not there. This is the lesson from the Bhagavatam. Let us stop our sense gratification as much as possible, which is a source of envy. And let us put Krishna's satisfaction in the center of our attention. And then we will enjoy a community without envy. And we will also be relieved from this terrible distress in the heart, which is there. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I was informed, had a very, very practical solution to uprooting envy in the heart. It was very practical. This, let us say, the Bhagavatam solution is put Krishna in the center, like the birds in the Vaikuntha stool. These are sages, no? They understand, everyone should glorify Krishna and have facility. Everyone should serve Krishna and have facility. Now, we always like psychological answers to our problems because we do not yet have so much faith in spiritual solutions for material problems. And I will also offer a psychological solution for this in this class, which was given by a great acharya. It's very simple. You have to try to see the good in another person. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would sometimes bring two devotees who were politicking or fighting with each other into his presence. He would ask them to sit down and he would ask Swami A to face Swami B and then asked him, is there something good which you can see in Swami B? I know you are seeing only that he is having a fault, but is there something good which you can see? Now, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was known as a lion guru, requested his disciples, see, they had to do it. So Swami A looked at Swami B. I can see you are a vegetarian. Good, that's a good start. Something. Swami B, is there something good which you can see in Swami A? You are sleeping in an ashram, not in a hotel. Good. Find something more. And as he encouraged them to find something more, they were now on another track, another perspective, another way of recognizing things. They had started the path of seeing the good. They were no longer on the path of seeing the false. And they progressed on this far path as they were requested to see something more. And at the end of the exercise, they could understand, well, he is trying to serve Krishna to the best of his ability. I am trying to serve Krishna to the best of my ability. We are united in Krishna consciousness. See, the disunity, Prabhupada writes, between individual souls is so strong within this material world that even in a society of Krishna consciousness, members sometimes appear disunited, due means also because of, having different opinions and leaning towards material things. No? I and my perspective. And Prabhupada offers the spiritual solution. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be two opinions. There's only one goal, one center, to serve Krishna to one's best ability. That's the same, that's the Vaikuntha solution. And please appreciate Srila Prabhupada as giving us what we could never think of on our own, where we need to be inspired from a pure soul. But please also consider when you feel this suffering is in your heart and it pains you, try to see the good in someone else and stay on this path and you will see many, many good things. Many, many good things. Surprisingly, multiple good things you will see. You will be surprised if you stay on this path and don't allow yourself to go back to the land of an absolute neophyte who has only this boring tape or recording in his mind. I and mine, I and mine, I and mine, I and mine, morning till evening. It's a very, 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 very neophyte state of consciousness. And it should embarrass us when we all of a sudden see that the voice has sprung up again. And we should see the spiritual solution, and if it does not work because it's so strong, then we can go to the psychological solution. Switch your perspective and stay with the perspective and something good will come. I was suffering very much from this. I'm still suffering from enviousness because I'm born in the family of an achiever. See, my father is one of the directors of the German railway, Die Bahn. The name used to be Die Deutsche Bundesbahn, now it's just Die Bahn. The Bahn, Bahnhof, I can't translate Bahn. The railway system, you would say. It's a privately owned company. It's not in America, I think it's state owned. I do not know, I can guess, because it's a good business. Everyone goes on the Bahn, on the train. The Train, it's called actually in English. Die Bahn, the train. No? It is a privately owned company, and my father trained us. You should be an achiever. I should be a CEO. I'm so impractical. He really misjudged me. But to make money and to get position and so on. And we were trained like this, the German boys. No, be better, excel, you know. And when I came to ISKCON and I understood Prabhupada's statement of competition. Not good. I became, you know, he said to the Americans, what is the use of you Americans if you do not distribute more books than, you know, and so on. He used our passionate nature. But he wanted us to bring it in devotional service where Krishna is the center and purify enviousness. We can compete without enviousness. No? So, I had to work on it. I'm not free. I'm. You are all better off than me. But I have recognized living the Bhagavata means you must face this in your own life, and you must cure it, and then you are very happy. I once asked a god brother whom I respect very much. I told him, I have this problem. You do so much, I do so little. You get so much mercy, I think I don't get. And you know what he said to me? He is a very exalted God brother. He said, oh Maharaj, I used to think like that also. But I have understood, there's only one interest, Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. And whatever happens in my little efforts, that is also your success, because we are family, we are brother. And whatever happens in your efforts, that is my success also, because Krishna is satisfied. I switched like this, my thinking, and I'm very happy when I see the achievements of my other god brothers. And I said, but yeah, you are a great devotee, I am not. No, it's just you need to switch the perspective. Everyone can do it. And I'm trying, and it has good results, but a little deep-rooted problem is there in my heart. But it is working. There is good working. I just discipline myself when this comes up, and see with a different. I think it's about seeing from a different perspective, and then you move on in this road, and you begin to enjoy it, and you begin. I mean, I'm just much better off than seeing, wow, my god brothers serve Prabhupada so nicely and Krishna so nicely. How satisfied Prabhupada is, how satisfied Krishna is, and I'm thinking, wow. And even someone who is against me, that happens when you are a little older devotees, you have friends and enemies, this is the world, it's natural. So I'm trying to think, they are thinking also for the interest of Prabhupada and Krishna. In their own perspective, they think like this. It may not be, it may have to be corrected at times, but that's not up to me. So on. It's a mental cultivation. And you feel much, much more relieved. Hare Krishna. I will end with a verse from the Bhagavatam, which is very thought-provoking. We don't actually need it on the board. I will read it. How can a religious system... This is 6:16:42. How can a religious system that produces envy of oneself and others be beneficial for oneself and for them. Do you get it? How can it be beneficial if there is envy? What is auspicious about following such a system where there is envy? What is actually to be gained by causing pain to one's own self due to self-envy, and by causing pain to others, one arouses your anger. Your means Krishna's, and practices a religion. We have to remove this from our heart, from our society. Then it will become very attractive. This is one lesson of living the Bhagavatam. It's that important that there is a benediction given to anyone who does it. Let me see. Can someone help me? It's I somehow lost this. It's, where are we? 30th chapter. Okay, I want to read you something. The next verse. What did you say? 48. I'm sorry, I can't remember numbers. This is a, yes, here I have it. Good. The Lord continued. Those who remember you, this means these sons of Prachina Bhaishat. It was a whole movement. I think it was 10,000, isn't it? Or how many? A whole movement. Just the sons. Those who remember you every evening of every day, you know, will become friendly with their brothers and with all other living entities. So the Bhagavatam says, let us remember this example of these 10,000 boys or sons who were pleasing Krishna by their mutual friendship, so much so that the Lord said, you may ask the benediction for me. So if you remember them, you must make yourself, of course, familiar with them and what they did and so on, their lives. Then if you remember them, you will also become friendly with your brothers and with all other living entities. This is a very important subject matter. It's already 9 o'clock and I need to end, otherwise I will not be on time, otherwise I will not be invited to your wonderful community again. There's some self-interest here. But we will have question and answers in the workshop session. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.